From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Well, thank you very much. It's very exciting to be back. A lot of stuff happened during our time off. For example, Motion Picture Academy of America asked Carl here to host the Academy Awards. He turned it down. He's got standards. I don't know who they finally settled for. And this big news, this is true, Ted Koppel, late of Nightline, has joined NPR, which is really great because although we've got every flavor of journalistic excellence around here, the one thing we lack at the company is really excellent hair. I mean by that, of course, I should say male hair. My apologies, Miss Stamberg. So we're very excited about that. Presumably now that he's signed the contract, they'll let him start listening to this show. So welcome, Ted. Too late now. Let's get started, though. The number to call to play our games is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to introduce our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello there, Peter. This is Dan Matthews calling from Kent, Connecticut.
Oh, where is Kent?
It's a cozy little hamlet nestled snugly amidst the rolling foothills of the Berkshire Mountains in the northwest part of the state.
Where Dan writes the brochures.
I was about to say. Well, welcome to our show, Dan.
Thank you.
Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a journalist and a contributor to ABC's Nightline, Miss Sue Ellicott.
Hello there, Sue. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. I hope you're nestled snugly yourself at home.
Thank you.
Next, say hello to a comedian who'll be performing at the Crest Theater in Sacramento, California on Saturday, January 21st, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Thank you.
Paula, from one Three Stooges apologist to another, it's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much. Dan, what do you do for a living?
I'm a Catholic campus minister, actually.
Goes without saying, Dan.
And lastly, say hello to a humorist and author, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
P.J., you're my favorite writer in the entire world. I have all of your books. You're the funniest writer since Mark Twain, so this is a real honor for me.
Dan!
He's also a book jacket writer.
When I'm not writing travel brochures for Kent, Connecticut, yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to that camp.
No, please do.
Dan, you're going to start us off by playing Who's Carl This Time, of course. Carl Castle will read you three quotes or quotations, as some of our more particular listeners like me to say.
Okay.
From the week's news, if you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, Carl's voice in your home answering machine.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. Here is your first quote.
He is like a very, very smart rock.
That was Slate's legal correspondent, Dahlia Lithwick, summing up the underwhelming impression made by a man after he starred in three full days of a live TV broadcast. Who?
Samuel Alito.
Very good, yes. So as he went before the Senate Judiciary Committee for his confirmation hearings, Judge Alito was able to put an end to the unflattering comparisons to Sandra Day O'Connor. Instead, he was compared unfavorably to Chief Justice John Roberts. Where was the charm, the humor, the twinkle in the eye and the cleft in the chin? By the end of Mr. Alito's questioning, it was clear that... I'm sorry, I nodded off for a second. Did any of you guys, because you're all news junkies, of course, did you all glued to C-SPAN the whole day watching the hearings?
I couldn't personally get through more than about 4 minutes of it. You're talking to somebody who once read the entire federal budget cover to cover for the piece that I did, and I couldn't watch the Alito hearings.
All right. Now, for your next quote, we're going to go back to the hearings.
Shut up already.
That was the headline of an editorial in the Orlando Sentinel advising some people to keep their mouths closed and their ears open. Who?
Advising some people to keep their mouths closed and their ears open. Might that be the Senate Judiciary Committee?
Yes, indeed, it would be.
Excellent advice, by the way.
None of the senators could resist making speeches as they were supposedly questioning Judge Alito. Now, one of the worst offenders was Joe Biden of Delaware, who in the first day of questioning managed to ask only 5 questions in 30 minutes. We have on tape his first question. Let's hear it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand, Judge, I'm the only one standing between you and lunch, so I'll try to make this painless. Judge, I'd like to say a few very brief things at the outset. I'm puzzled, and I suspect you may be puzzled by some of the questions. I don't think anybody thinks...
Could we bring that down a little bit? Just bring it down. Now, we have a lot of things to do, so what we're going to do is we're going to let the senator talk. We're going to turn down the volume, but we're going to let the tape run. So bring it up again.
Whether you independent...
All right, down again. There he is. He'll just be talking. We'll go about our business.
If only the real-life model came equipped with that feature.
Wouldn't that be great? A little volume control. It is astonishing to me how those senators... I mean, here it is. I mean, we have to find out what he thinks. And they don't let him talk.
Yeah, but he's not going to answer anyways, and everyone already knows he's not going to answer.
So somebody's got to talk.
Well,
it's Washington.
Precisely. In a way, they really served their country.
Do you think they work on their material behind the scenes?
I think that, I don't know, I agree with Joe Biden at this point. I don't know why we have the hearings. This is what I think about the Constitution. Surprise us.
Let's move on to your last.
If that court. Comes up during my nomination hearings, I'm going to be so embarrassed.
You think you have a chance, Paula? You think you're on a short list
moment,
somewhere?
Boy, did I just blow it.
All right, let's go to your last quote.
Okay.
It seems strangely fitting that her first biological child would come from Brad Pitt and not one of her previous guy friends. It's almost as if her DNA was smart enough to reject Billy Bob Thornton's sperm and waited out for a more suitable candidate.
That was from a blog known as The Superficial, reacting to the announcement that who is pregnant?
It can only be Angelina Jolie.
You're right. This week, Ms. Jolie and Brad Pitt not only confirmed that they're a couple, but they also said that their love has manifested itself physically in the miracle of childbirth. And according to humorist Andy Borowitz, People magazine has already named baby Brangelina the, quote, sexiest fetus alive. Well, Dan, before we ask Carl for your final score, let's check in with Senator Biden. Could you bring him up, please?
I mean, I really didn't like Princeton. I was an Irish Catholic kid who thought it hadn't changed like you concluded it had.
There you go. Thank you very much. Still hasn't gotten to the question yet. Carl, how did Dan do in our quiz?
Well, Dan did himself proud. Peter, 3 correct answers. Dan, you win our prize.
Oh, terrific.
Congratulations, Carl.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year, everybody.